Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 13, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please do take a seat. Let's just take a moment of stillness and pray together as we receive from God's word. Father, we love you, we thank you for your presence here with us by your Spirit, and I ask that the words that I would say now would land where you wish they land and the others would fall away. Would you give us hearts and ears to hear your voice this morning, this evening, as we hear your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So used to preaching in the morning, I think it just comes out, morning. Well, good evening, not good morning, good evening. As Maura said, my name's Rebecca. I am based just down the road at Holy Trinity Rathmines. If you ever would like to come visit us, you're very welcome. We're just 10 minutes down the road from here. And my husband Colin and I are both ordained. We were actually ordained in the Church of England in London in 2022. So we actually didn't train here at CITI. But when we got off the boat 2 years ago, when we came to Dublin, we got off the boat on the Friday and we were here on the Monday. Because we heard it was the place to be, you know, because we had to go for a training event. But we received such a warm welcome, and it was so great to meet everyone straight off the ferry from London. So we're really settled now 2 years in, and we're loving exploring Dublin and beyond and getting to know the Church of Ireland. And so it's a real pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you so much for inviting me. Well, our gospel passage starts this evening with a bit of blood mingled in the ground, and then we read one of Jesus' shortest parables. And maybe lesser known parables. We encounter the story about a fig tree that isn't producing any fruit. And so the owner wants to cut it down and get rid of it to free up some space for himself in his field. But the gardener, the person who obviously was in charge of tending the field, decides and tries to convince the owner to give it a second chance at bearing some fruit. So let's just remind ourselves of the purpose, one of the purposes of parables. One of the purposes of parables, the stories that Jesus told, was to reveal the kingdom of God and the nature of God to the people who were listening. So obviously people in the context of Jesus in the first century wouldn't have had books, and scrolls would have been really, really expensive. So it was an oral tradition. They were receiving communication orally. And so if you wanted your truth and your teaching to travel far and to get into the hearts of people, you would use stories. It was very common to use stories. And you would embed your truths, the teachings that you were trying to communicate to people, in these stories that would capture and inspire people's hearts. And then those stories with those truths would travel into people's lives and beyond as they told other people. And so Jesus was this incredible storyteller. We see it all throughout the Gospels that he told stories over and over, these parables, to demonstrate to people who God was and what the kingdom of God breaking in looked like. And so this evening, as we have this parable, I just want to draw out three really simple ideas and truths about what the kingdom of God might look like in our lives and who God is, as we learn from this parable about the tree. So the first thing is, there is an expectation of fruit. We read in verse 6 that the owner of the vineyard had planted this fig tree in a vineyard, and one day he comes looking for figs on the tree, but there weren't any. Now, the first question that came to me was, why is there a fig tree in a vineyard? Normally there are vines in a vineyard, not a fig tree. So Google tells me that fig trees were customary to be planted in the middle of vineyards because they provided shade for the workers in the vineyards. So when the vineyard workers would come to maybe the middle of the day or time for a snack or a drink or whatever, they would come and they would sit under the shade of a fig tree. If you think of what a vine looks like, it doesn't really provide much shade for people. So there would be this leafy tree in the middle where people could gather in the heat of the day and find shade. So the fig tree's purpose wasn't primarily to bring fruit, it was to provide shade. And nonetheless, the owner is coming to this tree and is looking for fruit. So the tree must have looked relatively healthy, it must have had enough leaves to look relatively healthy rather than shriveled or drooping or whatever, if that's what he's expecting to find, if he's coming to the tree thinking there's going to be fruit. And yet, as we know, when he gets to the tree and looks for that fruit, for those figs, he doesn't find any. God expects and looks for fruit in our lives, in our ministries, in our future ministries, for those of our training. We're created and we're called not just to grow leaves and to look like nice trees, but who actually end up standing in the middle of the field, looking a bit static and taking up some soil. We were created and called to produce fruit that will sustain and feed those who are around us, that will bless the places that we've been planted. And we need to be looking at our own lives and our ministries with an expectation of fruit and the new growth that God wants to produce in us. And that won't always be like a bumper crop of figs. There will be seasons where the fruit is really obvious and it's easy and it's abundant to be harvested and to be distributed where the need is. But there will also be seasons where the new shoots of life and the potential of fruit look so small and they're so fragile and barely visible. But where there is health, there will be growth and fruit, whatever form that takes. And so the first question for us from this parable is, do we have eyes to look for the fruit in our lives? To look for the growth in our lives, in our ministries, in our future ministries, whatever season we're in, whether that might be abundant fruit, whether that might be the tiniest of shoots that we have to look and have faith for. But we don't produce fruit on our own. The second thing we can draw out from this parable is that God is intimately involved and patient and puts in the hard work in our lives. The story tells us that when the owner doesn't find the fruit that he is expecting, he gets almost a bit angry, is the impression I get. He's like, 3 years I've been looking for fruit, let's just cut it down, it's wasting space in my vineyard. But in verse 8, the gardener, the one who is an expert at tending and cultivating and caring for this field, responds, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it." In some ways, this is a bit surprising for us as readers, maybe, because we read in lots of other parables and places in the Gospels about the importance of pruning and the importance of cutting away, cutting down the parts that aren't bringing fruit. And there is also a time for that, as we'll come to at the end of the parable. But the implication here, by what the gardener suggests that he'll do, is that the tree actually maybe hasn't been tended to correctly or intentionally or given what it needs. In this case, the digging and the manure to be put on. And the gardener is willing to get his hands dirty, to put in the hard work, to be patient, to give it a year, and give it the time and what it needs to see if it will bear fruit. Our God is a God who gets down on his hands and knees with us in our lives. He draws close to us. And he is patient in the chaos of our lives to put in the time with us in tending the soil of our lives, to create an environment where fruit might grow. God is the expert gardener, we are not. And he knows exactly what is needed in the areas of our lives or our ministries that are not producing fruit. He knows where something needs to be dug up or pulled out of the soil or where fertilizer and manure needs to be spread. He knows where we might even need to be replanted, somewhere where the soil and the sun can bring fruit. He knows where a step in the growing process maybe has been missed and what to do about it. And the question for us then is, will we allow God into the areas of our lives and our ministries where we aren't seeing fruit? The areas where maybe we feel like we failed or fallen short, or we've got deep disappointment over things that didn't turn out as we thought they would. Will we allow the expert gardener, God, to take over, for him to get his hands dirty in our lives and to put in the hard work with and for us, to show us where we might need a bit of digging or a bit of manure in order to create an environment where we might bear fruit. But fruit isn't always a guarantee, and that is okay. Verse 9 ends with our final truth, knowing the time to let go. The gardener says that if after a year of intentional tending, the tree still doesn't bear any fruit, then it will be time to cut it down and free up the soil. There's no denial in this parable that fruitfulness will lead to the end of the tree. A tree that is expected to bear fruit but isn't fulfilling its purpose, and so the gardener will eventually cut it down. And in some ways that can feel a little bit brutal when we think about our own lives. Why can't we just let that nice tree just sit there in the field and give a bit of shade for vineyard workers? But the original Greek earlier on in that passage, when it talked about wasting the soil, is actually better translated as this idea that it's making the soil barren or sterile, making it useless. So the tree is not just there looking fine, providing a bit of shade where needed, and just not bearing the fruit that maybe the owner was hoping for. But instead, it's having a wider impact on the soil around that actually can't be seen by just looking at the external of the tree. And it's stopping the growth of the vines around, and it's making the land around and the soil around slowly useless as well. So the gardener knows that if he can't get the tree to be healthy and to bear fruit, then actually it's indicative of a much deeper problem, a much deeper and wide-reaching issue that the tree is having. And as the gardener of the whole vineyard, he has a responsibility not just for the health of the tree and the growth of that fig tree, but actually for the vines and the soil and the growth of the whole field. So there's more at stake here than first meets the eye. There will be times in our own lives when we need to be honest and we need to acknowledge that there might be trees in the fields of our lives, or our ministries that are no longer bearing fruit, and where fruitlessness has actually become a reality for some reason or another. But that need not be a reason to despair. As the gardener knows, once he has tried the things that he can to help that tree bear fruit, and if it still doesn't, then its time has simply come to let go and to make space for something new. Because the good news is our God is the God of the resurrection and the God of new life. And letting go of something, the cutting down of a tree, might feel like death in the moment, but it's actually the opportunity for new life to take hold and break out. We don't want trees in our lives or in our ministries that just take up space, not bearing fruit, and even worse, maybe beginning to pollute the soil of the field around them. We want the life and the fruit and the growth that God invites us to expect. But in order to fully embrace that, we have to be honest about the true state of the trees and allow him to cut down the ones that are no longer bearing fruit, so that he might plant a new tree that will have an abundance of fruit in his timing. And so the invitation for us today is to take stock of our trees, the trees of our lives, the trees of our ministries, the trees of our vocation, and ask ourselves the questions. Are we expecting fruit?